positive. We're very thankful. It means a lot to us that our Rav Rebbe is here to spend the time with us tonight. It means a lot to us. We're appreciative of it. And we know that it took a lot of effort, a lot of finance, a lot of time. And it's great validation, and it's really wind in our sails. It's wind in our sails that Rav Weinberg is here tonight to be with us, and we appreciate it very, very much.
Thank my friend, Rav Judah, Rav Willig, and the Dovel, and Benji, all the Tzaddikim, Talmidim, Tzadkanias, Lichtige, beautiful Jews. Whenever I come here, over the years I've come here a few times, whenever I come here I feel that it's Ne'ilah. I feel like I'm walking into Ne'ilah. Doesn't make a difference if it's the beginning of the summer, the end of the summer. I feel like it's Ne'ilah. And I understand that things are winding down now. And camp is now holding at a time of Ne'ilah. Things are ending, the season. You know, there was a mitzvah that happened with the Mittler Rabbi Schus from Lubavitch. It was Erev Yom Kippur, and there was a family that was being held for ransom, whatever the story was. This was not uncommon in those days. And you know, the biggest tzaddik in town was always the Shamas. And there was a huge amount of money that had to be raised in order to buy the lives of this Jewish family. And the Shamas didn't know what to do, because he was told that the family would not survive Yom Kippur. They were going to be killed unless he came up with something like some crazy number, I don't know, 10,000 rubles. And the Jews there were so poor. And don't forget that throughout Elul and then Aseres Mitzvah, people were giving a lot of tzedakah. They didn't have money like that. He went to Yom Kippur. He went knocking on a few doors, and they gave him a couple of pennies. And they said to him, "Whatever, Bianco, we don't have money like this. We get 10,000 rubles." So he didn't have a choice. You know, not everybody back then was so holy the way the stories sound. And back then they also had bars and clubs. So there was, in Lubavitch, there was some bar. And in that place, the riffraff of the town, the Jews who were not going in the best way, even on Erev Yom Kippur, they were trying to get in a couple of last drinks. And the Shamas didn't have a choice, so he went. He went to the bar. He knew that there was a hangout for Jews, and these were Jews who hadn't been hit for donations, and some of them were wealthy people. So our friend Yankel the Shamas, so he went to the bar, and everybody's saying, "Oh, Yankel, Erev Yom Kippur, coming to the bar," and he said, "Listen, brothers, there's this family that was taken. They're going to kill, the Russians are going to kill this family. I need 10,000 rubles. You're Jews, you have Jewish hearts. I'm asking you to help." So they start to make fun of him. 10,000 rubles, who has 10,000 rubles? And, you know, and this one takes out, you know, a few pennies. And then one of them said, you know what, Yang, I'll tell you what. For every glass of vodka that I drink, that we drink, I don't know, if you drink one, we'll make a l'chaim, and we'll give you 1,000 rubles, the chevra. On the condition that after we're done with our little party, we'll have a parade through the main street of town, and you'll lead all of us through the main street of the town, this parade. So he didn't know what to do. You understand this would be the end of his reputation. And he's not a person that could hold so much liquor to begin with. But he kept on seeing in his head his family. And he agreed to this deal. He agreed to this deal. And the guys pour the first drink, and they drink, and he gives them a glass. He's okay, the first glass. Second glass, third glass, he's already like getting very, very sick. By the time the thing is finished, he's like totally wasted. And the guys take the 10,000 rubles, they're good to their work. They give him the money, they say, wait, we're not finished, remember, we have a parade. And can you imagine the bizyonis, this honorable person? He goes marching with the lowest people of town. He goes marching through the street, Erev Yom Kippur. And everybody's looking. What's Yankel doing here with these guys? And they're singing some crazy songs, some Cossack songs, you know. And they're all like drunk, and he's going with the drunks to the town. And they finish with him. He runs, stumbles to give the money to get the money over to these people to free the family. And the family is freed. And he is able just barely to get back to his house, and he goes to sleep. It's Erev Yom Kippur. He wasn't able to be at any Suda Mafsekis or anything like that. He wasn't able to get himself up in time to go to the mikveh, anything. But somehow he manages to pull himself to shul. And it's Kol Nidre, and everybody's standing there with a talis, and everybody's shaking, and the Rebbe walks in. And the uncle is lying down on a bench, which probably now you can't do because everybody buys seats, you know, you can't take up, it costs a lot of money. But the uncle just lies down on the bench, he's snoring away, he's drunk, he's shook, and the whole town saw that he was shook. They didn't know the story. They didn't know that he saved the Jewish family. And he's lying there shook on this bench, mamas drunk. And they're saying Kol Nidre, and the Rebbe is standing there next to the Chazan, and it's the middle of Kol Nidre. You know, this is the highest moment of the year, right? And the Chazan is saying Kol Nidre, and everybody's quiet. And Yankel is snoring, lying on the bench. But all of a sudden, Yankel opens his eyes, and he just sees like a lot of candles, and he was very mixed up and confused. He thought it was Simchas Torah. You know, he got it mixed up. And he screamed out and he said, 5 rubles, at Haresa. And he thought they were bidding, you know, they were bidding for the honor of saying the first pasuk. 5 rubles, at Haresa. And everybody started to scream, and Yankel, Kol Nidre, what's the matter with you? And the Mittler Rebbe said, leave Yankel alone. Demises, he's already holding pissed. He's already holding pissed, Kol Nidre. He's already holding pesach, already shachris, musaf, the avoda, mincha. He's already holding pesach neila. He's already holding pesach shana rabba. He's by ata haresa. He's holding ready by ata haresa. Because the Rebbe knew with his ruach hakodesh what this Jew did for other Jews. So I'm afraid to say such a thing to you. And I'm not a person that could say such things. Only a tzaddik can talk that way. But when I walk into this place, I would like to say to you that you're already holding by Ata Haresa. You're already holding by Ata Haresa. You're already holding by Simchas Torah. You don't have to worry chalila, any dinim, any of the other things that all of us are scared about. You already went past that. Without getting drunk, I hope. Without even having a drink. So I want to explain to you why that is. Just for a few minutes, there's a Torah that I want to share with you. It's a Torah about what we just did here in Shul, about Maariv. There's a Torah in Tiferes Shlomo from Shlomo the Radomsky and Parshas VaYigash. Mustam, you have a Tiferes Shlomo over here somewhere. And you'll be able to take a look later on to see inside. I'm going to read you a few words from Tiferes Shlomo to learn together. So you know that Yehuda accepted responsibility. He took responsibility. He told his father that he's an Arev. An Arev means that he has assumed responsibility. It means he's a guarantor. Not to worry that it's going to be okay. That Binyamin will be able to come home. That the child will be brought back safely. And Yehuda doesn't know who Yosef is. He's disguised as the Prime Minister of Egypt. And Yehuda is now telling Yosef, the Prime Minister, Avdecha Arav Esana, that your servant, meaning myself, I've taken responsibility for the child. I've taken responsibility for my brother. I have to bring him home. And then the Torah tells us that Yosef HaTzadik, you remember, that Yosef HaTzadik became very worked up, very emotional. And it says in Pasuk, "Le'yachol Yosef l'sapik." But Yosef couldn't keep the disguise, couldn't keep the charade going any longer. He couldn't hold himself back. And finally he says, "Ani Yosef." The Tiferes Shlomo says the following. Listen carefully to every word. Everybody knows that Yaakov Avinu was Mesakin Maariv. Avraham Avinu was Shachnis, Yitzchak is Mincha. And Yaakov Avinu was Mesakin Maariv. Arvus. L'Rabme is Inyan Ha'arvus. Asher b'bnei Yisrael, Hischel Miyakev Avinu. Maariv is the davening of the night. And the night, as you know, means golus, means difficulties. It means when Jews are suffering, when Jews are in trouble. It means when Yaakov Avinu had his dream. And it was night. And Yaakov Avinu established Arvis as a way of holding Am Yisrael together through the years. And the Rebbe says that Arvis is L'Rameh's Inyan Ha'arvus. Arvis, Maariv, is a hint to the word Arvus. Arvis is what? Kol Yisrael Arevim, Zeh Lo Zeh, Zeh Bo Zeh, Zeh Lo Zeh, the different Girsas in Chazal. That means that all Jews are responsible one for the other. Arvis is a lotion of Erev, of night. But the Rebbe says it's a hint of the word Orev, a feeling of responsibility that one Jew has for another. Yaakov tikein tfilas Arvis, l'ram izinin ha'arvis, asher b'bnei Yisrael hischel miYaakov Avinu. And this feeling of Arvis, this sense of responsibility, this love for other Jews, this inability to go to sleep at night when you know that other Jews are suffering in the night, This began with Yaakov Avinu. And that is alluded to in Shir Shir. It says in Pasuk, Ki kailech orev umarech nav. You know that the Chosn Kala in Shir Shirim, Kutchibrichu in Knesset Yisrael, and the Chosn says about the Kala, Hashem says about his bride, about Knesset Yisrael, Ki kailech orev. Your voice is so sweet, it's so pleasant. Umarech nav. And you're so beautiful to look at. So the Rebbe says, Ki kailech orev. The voice is so beautiful of Am Yisrael. Ki kailech orev doesn't just mean that there are Jews that know how to sing in a sweet way, which is also true. But ki kailech orev means the most beautiful voice of a Jew is that ki kailech orev is when a Jew takes responsibility for another Jew. When a Jew enters into the life of another Jew. The davening of the night, the tefillah of the night. It doesn't only mean the formal tefillah of Marv. Ki kailech orev. The Baruch Shalom says that when I hear the voice of a Jew who davens for another Jew. You know, these past weeks, beginning from the time that the holy Bochum were murdered by the Perod and by the Ishmaelim, there were so many walls that fell down in Klal Yisrael, so many mechitzas that were separated between one Jew and another. And there was suddenly an unbelievable surge of kailech orev, of Jews davening for other Jews that they never met, of Jews crying for other Jews that they'll never see, of Jews caring and loving other Jews who dress differently, who have different minhagim, who are not religious at all. So we're holding by the last few minutes of Golus, Marev, Ne'ilah. And the Shemesh Baruch saw, especially this past year, that there was so much sinas chinam by Jews, especially in Eretz Yisrael, that there's so many arguments and so much fighting, and so many chilukadeyas, and mechitzas, and chatzitzas, things that are tearing Jews from each other, taking Jews away from one another. So we're holding it Marev. And the tefillah of Arvis is the tefillah of Kikolech Orev, that Yaakov is Mesakeh. Avdecha Orevis Hanar. Every single one of you here has taken responsibility to help Hashem's children, to look out for HaKadosh Baruch Hu's children, to take children whose lives are sometimes maravdik, are not so simple, not so easy for them, for their families. And avdecha orev esana. L'chein kashabor Ruvein lifnei Ovid b'rishayne b'taynis eshnei bonai tomis leiponelov. When Reuven first told Yaakov that if we don't come back with the Yom, you could kill my two sons, Yaakov didn't say anything. Yaakov wasn't impressed. That didn't change Yaakov's mind to send Binyamin along. Ach Yehuda kashabah b'taynis ha'arvus. But when Yehuda said, I take responsibility for another Jew, I take responsibility for my brother, I'm not going to live my life in my da'at amos. Anoichi a'arvenu. When Yehuda told his father, Anoichi a'arvenu. Anoichi a'arvenu. He's my responsibility. Then Yaakov said, "Bekel shakayit el hemrachem." Only then Yaakov sent Binyamin. Ki oz botach liboy ki maher yitzmach lema Yeshua alin mechiras Yosef. Because when Yaakov heard a Jew saying, "Anochi aravenu," I take responsibility. Just like now recently I was reading that there's a group of women, I was talking to Rav Judah about this, there's a group of women from Eir Sharem and then in Beit Shemesh. Beit Shemesh was the place, there was so much sinner coming from that place between one Jew and another, and there are the holy Jewish women in these places that they took responsibility to go to the homes where the soldiers were away and to be mechazik the wives and to bring food and to spend time babysitting their babies and children. And they made sure not to get any men involved, because if you get men involved, then I hold like this, I don't hold like that. It's my shita, it's not my shita. But women to women, Anochi Aravan, Jewish sisters. This one's wearing shorts, this one's wearing a bathing suit, this one's wearing black stockings and a turban. Anochi Aravan, mother to mother, sister to sister. Anochi Aravan, Chever, we're holding by Marv. The Baruch Shalom wants to see that Jews should take responsibility for each other. There's so much fighting that's going on. There's so many bad things that Jews are saying about each other and to each other. And the whole year they were having pictures in magazines and Jewish newspapers of Jews yelling at each other, Charedim and Chilonim and so on, people yelling and fighting. So when Yaakov Avinu heard, when Yaakov Avinu heard the words Anochi Aravanu, I accept responsibility for my brother, Anochi Aravanu, then he knew ki maher yitzmach lema Yeshua alin mechiras Yosef. Then he knew that from this is going to be v'yatzmach purkane v'yikarev Mashiach. And he knew that from this was going to, the Yeshua was going to come. V'zeh shoma, that's what Yehuda says to Yosef at Tzadik. Ki avdach orav esanar. And then what happens right afterwards? Miyad acharkach v'liochol Yosef l'sapik. And then Yosef couldn't hold himself back anymore. And Yosef is a symbol of the Shechinah HaKadosh of Hashem. It says in the Zohar Kodesh in the Svarim HaKadoshim, Tzadik Yiloh is Yosef Tzadik Yom Tzadik Toto. Yosef Tzadik is the Shechinah. So you know what's happening now in Am Yisrael with the Jewish people? What's happening now is that after so many years of arguing and fighting, and we're so tired, and we're so broken, finally, because of what's been going on with the boys and then with the milchama, with the war, finally there's a feeling of Anochi Aravenu, Avdecha Orav Esanar. And when Hashem Yisbarach sees that Jews love each other and Jews take responsibility, they don't only talk about caring, but they bepoil, they roll up the sleeves and they take care of each other. Like what you're doing here, what you've done here the whole summer. Then what happens is by the Shekhinah, Layochel Yosef L'sapik, then Yosef can't hold himself back anymore. Then the Shekhinah can't disguise herself anymore. That's why we're going to see now, Mamish, any day, Layochel Yosef L'sapik, if we're able to hold on to this feeling, to this Arvus, to this Marav, to this Neila, through Elul, through Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, and we're able to make it to Shemini Atzeres Simchas Torah, then it's going to be Layochel Yosef L'sapik Oid. Then Hashem won't be able to disguise Himself anymore. The Shekhinah won't be able to hold herself back. Because when she sees that Jews are good to each other, every parent knows that all they want is that the children should be good to each other. Every parent knows that the Michael, everything, if the children love each other, if the children care for each other. Because the pogrom, the biggest pogrom, the most horrible damage that takes place in Golus is pirud halavavus, machloikis, and sinna, where Jews don't take responsibility for each other. Everybody builds himself his own little shul, his own little shtibel, his own little keila, his own little mokim, his own little dalramas. There's a Torah from the Pisetzna in Pashas Vayishlach. I was saying a little bit about this to the Chevra in Shul on Tisha B'Av. It's an amazing medrash when Moshe Rabbeinu had Gilui Shechina by the burning bush, by the Sneh. So Hashem is brought, called out to him, Moshe, Moshe, twice. It says, Moshe, Moshe. And the Medrash notices, Chazal noticed, how we have other places in Tanakh, Avram, Avram, where Hashem says twice a name with this tremendous affection, Avram, Avram. Noach, Elo told us Noach, Noach. The difference the Medrash says here is that by the burning bush, when it says Moshe, Moshe, there's no tzik, there's no asnachta, there's no kama. Whereas by Avram, Avram, it says Avram, tzik, asnachta, Avram. Elo told us Noach, stop, Noach is sad. But by the bush, by the snare, it says Hashem called out, Bikulav Menash, Moshe, Moshe, straight. So the Medrash says emotional. The Medrash says, if there's a person who's being crushed by an unbearable weight, if there's somebody who's being crushed under an unbearable weight, he doesn't have time to look around to find somebody, to talk to someone, to explain to someone. He just screams to the next person, whoever is there, he screams out for help. He just screams for help. So the Piazetzna said this in the Warsaw Ghetto. He said this in the Warsaw Ghetto at the Ni'ila time in the Warsaw Ghetto. When things were winding down, you know that the Piazetzna, the Eish Kodesh, was the last tzaddik in the Warsaw Ghetto. And these terrors were terrors that he said in the Warsaw Ghetto that we have miraculously, that we were saved. So the Rebbe explains over there that we know that it says in Pasuk, Imai Nechi Betzara, that when Hashem sees that Jews have tzaras, Hashem is Baruch helps us, and He puts some of the tzaras, He takes the tzaras because He loves us. And when you see someone that you love that's having a hard time, then you try to take some of that on you, on yourself. And you help the person. But the Rebbe said to the Jews in the Warsaw Ghetto that sometimes the tzaras is so many tzaras and they're piling up so much that even the Rebbein Shalom is being crushed under the weight of Jewish tzaras. And when Hashem is Baruch saw what Am Yisrael is going through Mitzrayim, so he says, Moshe, Moshe, there's no parent, there's no kama. He was being weighed down by the horrible weight, by this terrible burden of Am Yisrael's suffering. And he called out, Moshe, Moshe, you have to take the Jews out of Egypt. You have to help me with this burden. And the Rebbe says, how is it possible for a human being to help God with his burden? God is carrying the pain of Am Yisrael. If Hashem wouldn't be carrying our pain, you and I wouldn't be able to exist. My parents never would have been able to come back from Auschwitz and Mauthausen and to start again. If Hashem wouldn't be taking the pechlach on His shoulders. But it's come to a point where Hashem is being kivyochel, crushed by the weight of Jewish suffering. So the Rebbe says, how can a Jew help Hashem with the weight of the suffering? Torah, mitzvahs, tshuva, everything is good. But the most powerful thing that a Jew can do to take off the weight of Jewish suffering from Hashem's shoulders is by helping another Jew with his suffering. It's by one person helping another one. It's by making the life of another person a little bit better. When Hashem Yisbarach sees ki avdecha ora b'sana, when He sees that you and I are doing our best to help another Jew with the weight, you know, the parents of the kids, how much weight they're carrying on their shoulders. Everybody wants to have children that are just A+, perfect, everything is the right way, the kid is 100% normal, everything is perfect. Every parent wants to have a valedictorian, everything should be just right. And when there's a child that's different, when there's a child that's not exactly that, it's so hard. He ends with maybe many year gun can I achters with myself. The Bhinas Haargus Ish Asrayu Yazaru Biahava Vi Achva Virayas. The only way that we could bring Geula, which is now is an Eis Kosher, now is the time when we feel Mashiach Hine is Oymed Aha Kosleinu. We feel so strong that Mashiach is Oymed Aha Kosleinu. And Hashem opened up something in our hearts that we're able to see our brothers again and our sisters in a real way, in a deep way. And every single Jew is crying over those boys. And every Jew is davening for the soldiers. And the Rebbe from Shomer Amunim in Eretz Yisrael, this was a very big Kanoizdik, a group of Chassidim in Yerushalayim from Tal Dazar and Shomer Amunim, that he said publicly that we have to think of each one of these soldiers, you have to think, Ki'ilu, it's your own son that's going to war. And that you should think that it's your own son that's going out to the battlefield, that's going out to Gaza. So this is the Ma'ariv that we're in right now. And only by Ma'ariv we say words. We say beautiful words by Ma'ariv. V'hogin v'adeinu v'hosem aleinu oyev v'deva v'cheru v'yogoyin. And Yaakov established Tfilas Arvis, that Jews should take responsibility. He kolech orev v'marech nav. And Hashem promises us that if we live that way and we accept responsibility for each other and we love each other and we're good to each other, Hashem promises by Ma'ariv v'hogin ba'adeinu, He'll protect us and all of our children. V'hosim aleinu oyev, and He'll take away from us all of our enemies, and He'll destroy all of Hamas and all Hezbollah and all of the Sonim and all the Ishmaelim who are trying to destroy us. It's up to us. The tzaddikim say, "Asher Hashem ani yeshena v'lib ye'er." I am asleep, but my heart is awake. Air, I in Reish, is the Rosh Tevis of Parshas Ekev and Parshas Re'eh. The two Parshias now, the Nechemta, that we're in now. Ekev this Shabbos, the next Shabbos, Ekev and Re'eh. Ani Yishena V'libi Air. The heart is awake. Even though in many ways we're sleeping. And we're not doing what we could in learning and davening amidst this. But ki libi air, and air is the oisius also of orev. Ki koilech orev. Says the Bells, Rabbi Aaron LeBelz, and other tzaddikim say, Ma Hashem shol mi'imach, in the parasha, Ma Hashem shol mi'imach. What does Hashem ask of us? And Mem Hei is 45. And there are 45 days from Tu B'Av until Rosh Hashanah. Ma Hashem shoil mi'imach. In these 45 days, what is it that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was asking from us? Avdecha Rav Zanah. You spent this entire time giving of yourselves to others. I'm hoping that you enjoyed yourselves also. Mistami, you did a wonderful Yedidim over here, good friends, and learning. But the ikkar is that since you know what this is about, and you're the Gedolei Yisrael, you're from the Gedolei Yisrael when it comes to this Avoida of Avdecha Orev Esanar, of Kikailech Orev, that you shouldn't just finish this once Ne'ila is done and Ma'ariv is done and you go back and camp is over. That you continue on with that in any way that you can. It doesn't have to be in a big way. You don't have to have 1,000 people. But whatever you can do to reach out. I was very proud. I was telling of Judah that my daughter is in one of the Beis Yaakov camps in the mountains. And she's in Pennsylvania somewhere. And she runs the learning program there. She's married. She's there with the grandchildren. My son-in-law, and she runs the learning program. And there's a camp down the road. It's not a Jewish camp, but she saw an Israeli flag coming out from one of the bunks. She figured there were Jews there. So she went to the director and she invited that if there are Jews here, Jewish girls, we invite them to come. We like to make a special bread that we make for the Sabbath. So the owner said, "You mean Chalas for Shabbos?" He's Jewish. And he said, we have a lot of Jewish girls here. And now they already started getting together. They're singing and they're together. The girls that are from public school. You don't have to be in a professional Kiruv organization, a professional Kiruv camp. You just have to take responsibility. So I'll end up telling you a story that I told in yeshiva this past year. I think I told it around Rosh Hashanah time. Probably you all heard of the Chassidus of Amshinov. Chassidus of Amshinov comes from Rabbi Yitzchak Burke. Rabbi Yitzchak Burke was by the Chayz, was by the Kotzke. Rabbi Yitzchak Burke had very holy children, Yaakov David Amshinov and Mendel. Mendel of Urke, from that gezer of the Chassidus of Amshinov, there's a smaller Beis HaMedrash that's called Skernevich. The Chassidus of Amshinov, every Chassidus specializes in something. And the Chassidus of Amshinov specializes in Ahavas Yisrael. Those who've had the schus to meet the present Amshinov, Rebbe Zalman Zonzein, he is mamish shikr in love with every Jew. Mamish in love with every Jew. He's in love with Am Yisrael. That's the trademark of Amshinov. From Rabbi Yitzchak Burke. It goes back to Lelov. That world of Ahavas Yisrael. So there's a maisa that happened that one of the chassidim by the Skernevitzer came to him crying that his daughter ran away with a non-Jew. She had a boyfriend and they ran away together, and his father found out that she's in this town, and in that town there's a convent, and that she is going to be converted to Christianity. She's being baptized on Sunday and they're going to get married, Chalila. Now that would be a tragedy any time in those days, you can imagine. So the Skenevitzer asked, where is this church? And the father told the Rebbe where the church is, and the Rebbe said to his Shamas, come, we're going to find this girl. We're going to bring her home. So the Rebbe went with the Shamas, and they found this big, big, scary place with a gate, you know, the fancy place. And of course they couldn't go in there. And they were standing around on the corner, and they were waiting for somebody that worked in the convent to come out. That wasn't a galach, you know, not a priest, not a sister, somebody that worked over there. And someone came out, and they called him over, and they spoke international language, which is money. And they gave him some money, and they said, that, you know, there's a Jewish girl. They said, sure, that's the big excitement in the convent. There's a Jewish girl, she's being baptized. So the Rebbe said, give her this note, and gave the guy money. Guy that works, they gave him money. Fine. The Skenevitzer and his shamas stayed on the street corner 3 days and three nights. They davened there. When one of them had to excuse himself, the other one made sure to stay there. And they came back. They stayed on the street corner. They were waiting there, davening. They were staying there for 3 days and three nights. There was no sign of the girl. In the middle of the night, of the fourth night, all of a sudden, they hear noise and clank, clank, something, and they see covered in a big shmata that the girl's running. She says, Rebbe, it's me, whatever, Rivka, it's me. And the Rebbe goes with the Shabbos, and the three of them, they run because they're going to get killed. They just run, they keep on running, they don't talk. They keep on running and running and running, until finally they get to the forest or somewhere where they feel that they're safe. And they're resting over there for a few minutes. And Rivka's crying, she says, "Thank you, Rebbe, thank you so much." But the Rebbe asked her, "But Rivka, it's already the fourth night. How did you know what gave you the courage to leave?" She said, "For those days I was davening, and I had the courage because, Rebbe, I knew that you were still waiting for me. I knew that even though so many days had gone by, that you'd never leave without me. And that's what gave me the chizik to run away, to escape, to come back to my people." Chevra, that's what it means to be a Jew. That other Jews should know that we're waiting for them. Other Jews should know that we care about them. But you have campus here during the summer. You do your best. I'm sure you had all kinds of meetings and discussions about how to stay in touch and what to do. Mistama, there are going to be some kind of reunions or things, I don't know, you know, during the year. Different things that you to keep the fire burning. The ikkar is that the children should feel that you love them and that it wasn't a job and it wasn't a sum. The ikkar is that every Jew should feel that there's another Jew that's waiting for them on the corner. And that the other Jew is not going to leave until they come back. So if you did that, and we all tried to do that, then he needs the oimid achak asleinu. Then David Malkin Mashiach, there's no question that he's waiting mamish on the corner, on the other side of the world, that he's waiting for each and every one of us to come back. We should be zayichim as Hashem. It should be soon. We should see with our eyes. We should see with our eyes. V'sechazen ha'ineinu, v'shuv chol etzien v'rachimim, v'gul Hashem v'amitis, v'mehem yaveinu, amein v'amein.
Yeah. You guys
are going to see us in the next one.
See you back in the sheet.